Today I'm going to talk about comparative evaluation of crop water use of forage sorghum and corn for silage using remote sensing. Over the past few years in the Texas High Plains, the number of dairies are increasing dramatically. So there's a greater demand for silage in this region. In addition to the dairy cattle, another major consumer of silage is the beef finishing industry. And the two major sources for silage are corn and forage sorghum. These two crops are grown as fully irrigated crops, and the water for irrigation is pumped from the Ogallala aquifer. And we all know that Ogallala aquifer is a diminishing water resource. And it has been suggested that forage sorghum uses less water than corn. So the objective of my study is to compare the seasonal crop water use for corn and forage sorghum fields in the Texas High Plains using remote sensing. Crop water use is the water that is taken up by the plant from the soil that is used by the plant for its growth. So this is essentially it is equivalent to the transpiration of the crop. The most common method to calculate, to estimate evapotranspiration is the Penman-Monteith method. And the Penman-Monteith method assumes the evaporating surface as a homogeneous surface. So in this case, the evaporating surface is a well-watered crop surface that has full ground cover, which means 100% ground cover. So how do you handle a situation when there is incomplete ground cover? As a first approximation, it has been suggested that the evapotranspiration can be calculated as a sum of two terms. Okay. The first term here, it corresponds to transpiration of the crop, and the second term here corresponds to soil evaporation. In my study, I'm primarily interested in the transpiration, that's the actual crop water use. So my hypothesis is that crop water use equal to potential evapotranspiration of the crop times ground cover times a stress factor. The stress factor accounts for the reduction in transpiration of the crop due to stomatal closure. And the value of the stress factor can range from 1 when there is no stress to 0 when the stomata completely closed. My hypothesis is that for crops that are acclimated to their environment, the stress factor should be approximately 1. What this means is that for crops that are acclimated to the environment, it reduces the leaf area and may not completely close the stomata. In that case, the equation to calculate crop water use has two terms, potential evapotranspiration times ground cover. The ground cover in this equation, I'm evaluating using remote sensing data, so I call this a spectral crop coefficient. This study was conducted as a part of the Texas Alliance for Water Conservation Demonstration Project. We have several fields located in Hale and Floyd counties in Texas. In 2006, I used data from 4 corn fields and 2 forage sorghum fields. And in 2007, I had data from 4 corn fields and 1 forage sorghum field. To evaluate crop ground cover, I used remote sensing data from 2 satellites, Landsat 5 and Landsat 7. And the method I used to estimate crop ground cover uses perpendicular vegetation index. This is the characteristic distribution we get if we plot the red digital counts of the Landsat satellite versus the near-infrared digital counts. And all the points here are areas that contain bare soil in the image. And this is the bare soil line. And the point up here are areas that has 100% ground cover. And all the points here in between 100% ground cover and bare soil line are areas that has partial canopy. And perpendicular vegetation index, or PVI, it is a perpendicular distance from any point in the distribution to the bare soil line. For example, PVI of point A is the perpendicular distance from point A to the bare soil line. And PVI of point B is the perpendicular distance from point B to the basal line. As I said before, the point B here, it corresponds to 100% ground cover. So the ground cover of any point in this distribution can be calculated by dividing PVI of that point by PVI of 100% ground cover point. This is the equation that I used to calculate PVI, and this is the equation for the basal line. So to test this procedure of estimating crop ground cover using remote sensing data, I also collected ground-based observations of ground cover close to the Landsat overpass dates. And here the x-axis is the ground-based ground cover observations and y-axis satellite ground cover estimates. And the solid line is the one-to-one line and the dotted line is the regression line. Here you can see the points cluster around the one-to-one line. And the statistical analysis shows that there is no significant difference between the satellite ground cover estimates and the ground-based observations of ground cover. Using the remote sensing data, I was able to calculate ground cover for certain days during the growing season. But what I needed in my study is daily values of ground cover for the entire growing season. So I used a crop model to simulate daily values of ground cover using the remotely sensed ground cover, and another input for the model is the climate data. And this is the kind of results we get when we use the model. Here, the squares are the remotely sensed ground cover observations, and the closed black circles are the simulated ground cover values. And here you can see the model does a pretty good job of simulating the ground cover from the remote sensing observations. To test this procedure of estimating crop water use by the remote sensing method, I also collected actual measurements of evapotranspiration in the field by eddy covariance method. I had two mobile eddy covariance systems. This is a picture of one system located in a field. Now I want to show you some results. These are the spectral crop coefficient curves for corn in 2006. This is for two fields. Here, as seen here, the value of the crop coefficient is small during the early growing season, and it increases to a maximum value in the mid-growing season, and after that it decreases. For this field, this red line, it is field number 21, it was cut during this day. But this field number 26, one, it was allowed to grow for a longer time period. These are the spectral crop coefficient curves for forage sorghum in 2006. This red line and black line and red line are from the same field number 42. This was planted in mid-May and it was allowed to grow. And when it reached almost full canopy, farmer harvested the sorghum and the forage was removed from the field. It was allowed to regrow, and this is seen in the crop coefficient curve here. Again, he harvested the forage sorghum when it was like 100% ground cover. This is another forage sorghum field that was allowed to grow for longer time periods, and there was only one harvest from this field, but from this field number four, there was two complete harvests. For those days when I had the eddy covariance measurements of crop evapotranspiration, I compared my spectral crop coefficient measurements of crop water use and the actual measurements using the eddy covariance method. Here you can see there's a good agreement between the spectral crop coefficient measurements and the eddy covariance measurements. This KSC is the spectral crop coefficient measurements and EC are the eddy covariance measurements. And the statistical analysis shows that there is no significant difference between the eddy covariance measurements and the remote sensing based measurements of crop water use. I got the same kind of results for field number 22. It's a forage sorghum field. This for 2007. Here also there is a good agreement between the spectral crop coefficient measurements of crop water use and the actual evapotranspiration measurements using eddy covariance. So if you sum up the daily values of crop water use for the entire growing season, we can get a seasonal crop water use estimate for each field in the study. Here the brown bars are corn fields and these light brown bars are forage sorghum fields. Here you can see that the seasonal crop water use of corn is much higher than forage sorghum. This is the seasonal crop water use for 2007. In 2007, the seasonal crop water use of forage sorghum was similar to that was calculated for corn fields. This is the average seasonal crop water use for all the fields in the study. In 2006, the average seasonal crop water use of corn was 30 inches, and for forage sorghum, it was only 15 inches. In 2007, the average seasonal crop water use of corn was 20 inches, and forage sorghum, 18 inches. Here are my conclusions. Perpendicular vegetation index was very effective in estimating crop ground cover. The spectral crop coefficient was very effective in estimating daily values of crop water use. Summing the daily values of crop water use, we can get an estimate of the seasonal crop water use for each field in the study. And the results indicate that corn uses more water than forage sorghum, as stated before. I want to acknowledge Texas Alliance for Water Conservation for funding the study. The study was also supported by a grant I received from the Texas Water Resources Institute. Thank you.